You'll remember it was the Mackinac Conference. The governor rolled out this big bipartisan independent commission that was going to look at how we can grow our population and grow our jobs, come up with long-term solutions. They met, they brainstormed, they delivered a big report. Well, where has it gone since? Pretty much nowhere, as we learned about that within the pages of the Detroit News after Nolan Finley sat down with the chair of that commission. And Nolan, as he does on Monday mornings, joins us live this morning, the editorial page editor at the News. Good morning, Nolan.
Good morning, Guy, Jamie, Lloyd. It's good to be with such a group of first-round picks.
I gotta say, I'm not surprised by this. How many blue ribbon commissions have you and I lived through, and the only thing that we get are dusty briefing books?
They're stacked all over Lansing. I mean, it's not just this governor. It's been about every governor and every legislature since I can remember. We love to study problems in Michigan. We just don't love to get down and solve them. And you know, I sat down with John Ricalta last week. I was interviewing him for a group in Novi who were having their annual convention. And anyway, I asked him about this, and he was pretty disappointed, not surprised, but pretty disappointed that the governor hasn't been championing this, hasn't been talking about it as much as he thought she should, or at all. And you know, of course, the governor's office saying, no, we're working on this, we're moving this steadily through. And you know, the lawmakers, Democratic lawmakers, say no, you know, we're moving this steadily through. But you know, they've got control of Lansing, and they could put a legislative package through and move it, which is what John said he expected, and hasn't happened.
Nolan, for the past couple of years, we've had these COVID dollars, or as it was said in the Detroit News, Biden bucks. They'll be gone by October, and a lot of schools will have structural budget imbalances. Now, is it because of the money per se, or the way they spent the money?
Well, both, you know, both. I mean, we warned when the money came, don't make this part of your operating plan. And, you know, you can question whether the money should have come flushing through here or not. It's done a lot of harm, but I'm afraid the harm isn't, you know, it's just beginning, because they're going to come back to the voters now. All these school districts, all these school boards are going to come back to voters now and say, look at all the good things we were doing with this money. If we're going to keep it up now, you know, Joe Biden not going to pay for it anymore. So, you know, you're going to have to give us more tax dollars. And, you know, I think you're going to be seeing that most likely start in the fall elections and run through next year, where, you know, school districts try to replace this money with millage increases.
Nolan, what about what's going on college campuses at Columbia today, at Yale? Caitlin Buss had an opinion piece about an anti-Semitic vibe at U of M.
Which is shocking. U of M was always a safe haven for Jewish students going back decades, you know, through most of its history. And, you know, now these kids say they don't feel safe there anymore because, you know, these protesters, the anti-Israel protesters, have, you know, targeted Jewish students for no other reason, you know, not that they're Israelis or that they support Israel. I have no way of knowing that, but for no other reason than they're Jewish. And I think when these protesters start equating blaming all Jews for what's going on in Israel, that's just a classic example of anti-Semitism, and we ought not be tolerating it.
But this post that Caitlin profiles in her column, where this pro-Palestinian leader on campus wrote, "Until my last breath, I will utter death to every single individual who supports the Zionist state. Death and more, yeah. Death and worse." That's threatening violence. That's threatening terrorism. If you or I or any of us had said that about Black Americans, feminist activists, if we had said that about any other minority group, we would have been drop-kicked through the goalposts at the Big House.
Right, we would have been, and they should be. I mean, well, what's next? I mean, are we going to start seeing Klan meetings on that campus? I mean, you know, there are immigration rules in this country, you know, that should be enforced, and one of them is if you're here as a visitor, and I don't know if this person who made this post is or not, but if you're here, you know, by our good, you know, our good graces as a visitor, and you support a terrorist group, which Hamas is and Hezbollah is, you're going back home. And I don't know why we're not sending more folks back home who are making these college campuses uncomfortable. You know, if they are visitors, if they are here on a student visa or a professor and who's here on a visa, they should be going back home.
What if this person is not just an American? What can college campuses do?
Well, you can ask her, if you don't like, if it's that bad, go to Gaza. See how you like it.
Yeah, well, you know, what they can do is enforce their own standards, which supposedly say we've got to have safe campuses. We've got to have campuses where everyone feels welcome, and that's not the case today.
Nolan, over the weekend, the House of Representatives making some significant moves, passing that legislation that could potentially ban TikTok and also including these aid packages for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. And Mike Johnson, you know, I guess decided, you know, I'll put my job on the line because I think this is right for the nation's security.
Well, you have to. You can't abandon the people you've been supporting. You can't abandon this effort. I mean, you can't give Russia a victory. You can't give Iran a victory in Gaza. I wish, and I think his colleagues wish, and probably Mike Johnson wishes, that they had offset this spending with cuts in this extraordinarily bloated federal government. You know, not an impossible thing to do at all. And I believe he probably could have, had he been able to insist that that happened, would have been right with his caucus. But, you know, Republicans have to remember they're just one third of the government. They can't block much, and they can't pass much. So, you know, I think this is the best he can do.
Of the six Republicans in the U.S. House, though, from Michigan, Nolan, five voted against the Ukraine aid. Only John James voted yes. And I reached out to his people. They said he got the same briefing that Mike Johnson got, and that was at the heart of his vote. What do you think happened with the other five?
Well, I think just what I said. I mean, they see this as an endless commitment, you know, billions and billions of dollars pouring into Ukraine, and they would like to see some sort of path toward an end to this, path toward victory, if you will. This is, you know, starting to feel like another slog that we have been in for decades and over again. But, you know, at the same time, you can't let these people dangle.
Nolan, we always appreciate checking in with you every Monday. It's why we look forward to Mondays around here. Because you're
glad
our number one draft pick.
I want to check my knees out first.
Well, yeah.
You're on IR.
Yeah, none of us are threatening the salary cap either. thanks so much, my friend.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to check in with Sheriff Mike Bouchard. The Chilean thieves are back. Security front and center with the NFL draft. We'll get to it all with Mike Bouchard.